Berta, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Pleasure.
So the Liberal Party's driving policy this election really seems to be in delivering strong economy. We've seen back in black, we're back in surplus. That's really been the driving force behind them. But the budget papers reveal that the budget is still currently in deficit and that the surplus will only take effect next year. Do you think that comments like these, being misleading as they are, is going to affect how reliable people think the coalition's promises are?
Look, I think voters are worried about how reliable everybody's promises are, and I think the capacity to deliver them and what all this sort of detail around the budget means, I suspect, goes over most people's heads. But look, both sides have said that the next round, of the budget will eventually get into surplus. When you look at the policies and Labor have announced their costings today, or they're going to announce their detailed costings later today, but in the sense that economic management's an important element for people to think about in terms of how well the country's being run, I don't think there's much between them, but it's certainly, as you say, been a big focus of the Morrison government to talk about getting the books back into surplus. But the Labor Party's going to do it on the same trajectory. For both sides and for anyone who's running the country, the economy's going to be facing some pretty strong headwinds in the next 2 to 5 years. So the difficulty for any of the experts to predict how things are going to be beyond the next year or two, I think, is really challenging. So it's a combination of people being, I think, reasonably sceptical about some of these claims, but also neither side of government can predict what's going to be facing the Australian economy. We've got some very interesting economic circumstances at the moment in terms of record low wage growth, very low inflation. People are clearly spending. We haven't dealt really very well with the housing affordability issues. So there's an enormous set of challenges here.
And on the other side, Labor have offered an array of very specific election policies as well. One of their big ones, action on climate change. We've also got restoring casual penalty rates. If elected, though, Labor are pretty unlikely to have a majority in the Senate. So if they can't pass their revenue-raising reforms, you mentioned the interesting circumstances we have in the economy at the moment, do you think that the public can expect that some of that proposed spending will be dropped?
Look, I've heard both sides of politics talk about this, as well as the Greens, in terms of what will happen in that situation. And what Labor's saying is that, look, they have not made themselves a small target, which is typical of an opposition at this stage in an election cycle. They've worked up a lot of detailed policies. They've put them out there. There's always winners and losers. I mean, that's what policy is about. There are some winners and there are some losers. Now, they risk the electoral peril of the losers in terms of the people they're going to affect. I think that the franking credits one, I think there's been a lot of airtime given to that, whilst it's clearly not a tax cut, and there's issues about fairness and the percentage of people that affects. The question here is that I think something like that potentially could have been grandfathered. I think there's things around people wanting a bit of security in terms of how they plan for their retirement and so on. So there's risks in the way that they've done this. But in terms of whether they can get these things through the Senate, they're claiming that having gone out, prosecuted the argument around those policies for so long now, and having the detail out there, that they really, if they win, they'll claim they've got a mandate. I'm just not sure how you can sustain that argument if you can't get the votes in the Senate, as your question implies. And we don't know which combination of minority parties or how well the Greens will do in the Senate. One might expect that if the Greens hold a number of Senate places, they might be more likely to support the Labor government in some of these areas. But we're going to have a raft of independents by the look of things, and most of those independents are actually Liberal independents. So how they vote, it's a very tricky set of circumstances that face either side depending on who wins. But I must say that this is the trend now for the way Liberal democracies are going. they're often governing in minority circumstances, even in minority circumstances in the lower house, which is much more challenging. And of course, the Gillard government, Julia presided over a minority lower house government for a period of time, and they got an immense amount of stuff through the parliament. So it comes to how good you think either side will be at negotiating with minority parties. And I think we have and partly because of the way the electoral system works in Australia, but, you know, minority parties, regardless of what we think about them, on the right or the left, represent a poor part of our community. And it's important that all people's views are taken into account in these sort of negotiations. I think it'll, in the end, come down to which party and the members of those parties who are going to be best at negotiating those kinds of outcomes. But regardless of what they say, of course, it is very difficult to guarantee that they'll get any of this stuff through in the Senate, which leads back to the initial point, you know, you raised with me around, well, how can people trust any of these promises because their capacity to deliver is somewhat diminished by the way the system works?
And just before I do let you go, Roberta, with a history of leadership spills on both sides, I mean, what are we up to? 7 prime ministers in 10 years or some other ridiculous world record? How much do you think that that is going to be playing on voters' minds once we actually get to the polls on May 18?
I think that's a hard one to predict. Look, I think stability, people want certainty, people want to know, you know, whether the investments in schools and health and so on are going to be delivered upon. We don't have a presidential system of government in Australia. You know, we're not voting, unless you live in their electorate, so I'm not voting for Shorten or Morrison. You know, we're voting for a party. I think people understand that, but I do think that the leadership behaviour, particularly in seats like Wentworth, I mean, I think those, some of the behaviour of the Liberals, it goes more to, you know, where is the centre now? And, you know, if the right really has control of the Liberal Party and all of this has been a kind of internal factional battle, I think that doesn't look good, doesn't feel good. I don't think voters are happy with that. I think they've done a lot in terms of trying to dissuade people that that's a big issue. It's very hard to know how that plays out in people's minds, except it's just not a good look. But it feeds into people's general... And politicians are still in the, I don't know, third or fourth lowest regarded, that's not very good English, but most poorly regarded professions. And I think it goes to these issues of, you know, trust and decency and people behaving civilly towards each other.
Roberta, we really appreciate you speaking with us this morning. Thank you so
Great
much.
Pleasure.